opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Here's Jones on the punt. Jackson converges around a 15. Dancing, spinning back to the far side of the field. Retreating all the way back to the 3-yard line. Still up, cutting back to the 9. Ball is loose, and I believe the Cowboys have recovered.
I think you're absolutely correct. This is a situation where the ball got away from Deshaun, and this is Cowboys ball. And guess who got the ball? I believe it was the punter.
Terrence Williams, the only receiver in, put out wide to the right. Witten motions out to the right. Here's to get to McFadden. Both arms locked. McFadden driving. McFadden into the end zone. Touchdown, Cowboys.
Still following the field goal wins this game.
Following the timeout. Empty backfield here. Tim Thompson out wide to the left. 3 wide to the right. Cowboys bring some pressure. Looking for the end zone. Deshaun Jackson there. Johnson holds it in for the Redskin. Touchdown. A 53-yard attempt. Ball spotted on the near side hash. Career long 56. No wind to speak of. Snap down. Kick on its way. And it is good.
Good.
Dan Bailey.
I kind of felt, you know, I was close to being down, but, you know, they ruled it how they ruled it. But, once again, you know, it's on me, and got to protect the ball better than that.
The Cowboys are alive! The Cowboys are alive! I'm just saying that to annoy the crap out of Hoffman. Lots to get to. Let's do this. It's a Tuesday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE, factory-approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Tuesday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, the role model, and Cowboys fan. Jong Lee, the master. If you want to get in today, 713-780-ESP is your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you are good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jong Lee Football, at Degenerates975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And it's a Tuesday. Usually you guys are in a bad mood. Let's have some fun today. We got a guest-heavy show for you. Herman Moore is going to join us. Jerome Solomon's going to join us.
Who?
You know, the Jerome Solomon.
Oh,
and
gotcha.
Paige Van Zandt.
Who?
Of the famous Van Zandt family.
Gotcha.
So, lots of interviews, and we're out early today for UT basketball. Coverage begins at 6:30. So, short show.
Who?
UT basketball.
Oh.
Yeah, you're familiar. You're familiar with the horns, are you not?
Gotcha.
Little bit, but so let's enjoy it today. What's going on, Mr. Hoffman?
Sports and stuff, man. How are you?
Sportsy, my friend. Ready all to rock and roll, ready to have a fun show today, and I'm ready for all the Cowboys fans who are now excited that they're only a game out of first.
Well, they are.
So it's funny, we had the whole conversation about Romo and whether or not to, and why I thought it was kind of a good idea to just, you know, don't IR him yet, just in case. Even if you bring him back and he snaps it, so what? Now they're a game back. Now, I'm going to make Cowboy fan a little mad, but I got to tell you, yes, you should feel good about being a game back. Just keep in mind you also still have road games at Buffalo and Green Bay.
Yeah.
And now I'm not really scared of the teams in front of you because they all suck. That was an ugly, ugly game last night, pretty much in every way imaginable. And I don't think you enjoyed it unless you were a Cowboys fan. Or you were doing what we were doing, was playing Monday Night Football bingo and getting a bunch of shots for it. So
there you go.
Yeah. But other than that, it wasn't much to see.
Well, one thing I know for sure, someone is going to win the NFC East.
Indeed.
That's about all I know. You've got three teams that are tied at 5-7, and you've got the Cowboys who are now sitting at 4-8, and it's pretty ugly. The Redskins have the best remaining schedule. at least from a win-loss perspective. They're going to Chicago. Then they have Buffalo at home. And then they've got Philly and Dallas to finish it out.
1-3.
You think so?
That's my prediction.
Okay. What about the Eagles then? The Eagles have Buffalo coming in. Then they have Arizona. Then they have the Redskins and the Giants on the road.
1-3.
Okay. The Giants, they've got it rough. They've got Miami and Minnesota on the road.
Okay.
Home game against Carolina. Home game against Philly.
1-3.
Okay. Now, this is what you're saying is statistically impossible because I mean somebody has to win those games.
Well, they're going to lose all the games outside the division. How's that?
Okay.
All these teams are.
And the Cowboys' remaining games, as you mentioned, they still have to go to Lambeau to play Green Bay, host the Jets, hit the road against Buffalo, and then week 17, the finale. Once again against Washington.
Yeah, I don't like their chances in any of those games except the Washington game.
So you think even in the games where the NFC East teams play each other,
yes, they're all going to lose. Exactly, they're that bad.
That's amazing.
I honestly hear those schedules, and I think there's some games that there's no way some of those teams win.
Right.
But I have no clue how some of them are going to try. Like, I don't know how the Jets game will go. I think the Jets are better than they are right now, but I think the Bills, who knows what Bills team shows up. If good Bills show up, none of these teams can beat the Bills. So it's going to be ugly. Somebody's going to be 7-9 and win this thing.
Yeah.
Maybe 6-10. Maybe even tied at 6-10. These are just not good football teams, and it's just one of those years where it's kind of a shame if you're a Cowboy fan, because if you had a healthy Tony Romo, I don't think we're even talking about a division race right now. But that hasn't been the case. And I think you should at least be happy you're still in it. If you get in, who knows what happens? I mean, we've seen it before. We've seen teams with losing records make the playoffs and win a playoff game. Last year, as a matter of fact. And we've, you know, Seahawks, of course, did it. So it's possible, but just brutal football. And they're just so bad. And what the hell? DeSean Jackson. Does anything surprise you anymore?
No.
That this knucklehead does?
Tries to be too cute all the time, and it cost him. It cost him the game last night.
USA Today ranked his worst five dumb plays of all time.
Where'd that one rank?
That one ranked number one on the list. I'll give you the other ones. One was the high school flip in the Army Bowl, which, okay, I remember that.
I don't care about that.
Throwing the ball at an opposing coach after a 50-yard pass play and getting a penalty. Taunting while falling backward into the end zone against the Cowboys in 2010.
Yeah.
Dropping the ball before actually reaching the end zone.
That's number one.
That, to me, is number one. And then they called last night the Monday Night Moron. That's number one.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah, I would say that's second. But, hey, you know what? 1-2 have both been against the Cowboys.
But you know what? They throw that guy out there, and they like what they can get out of him. You know, you're going to get that knucklehead play. But you're putting a home run threat on the field every time. I see the value in him, but man, that's a tough one to stomach last night, because if he does a normal kick return and goes down and holds on to the ball, Redskins probably win that game. They probably run out the clock and win the game.
Orion, with a good question. How is McFadden not getting torn apart today for scoring a touchdown when he could have just run out the clock and kicked a field goal? That's one of those things in that situation. I think there was a little too much time left. And it's
Darren McFadden also was concussed.
So. Yeah. honestly, that's one of those debates that I don't think there's necessarily a right or wrong answer to. You don't want to give the other team time if you can avoid it, but do you really want to go to a field goal if you can score a touchdown? Right. Because then you're making them drive the length of the field and score a touchdown. And I can see arguments for both sides. I didn't really have a problem with the way the Cowboys did it. I did have a problem with how their defense kind of fell apart on that last drive and let them right back in it. But I think it's one of those that I think you can fairly criticize them for it, but it's also, I mean, I can easily see a case both ways. Eric said, I saw on Barstool Sports it's possible for the whole division to finish 6-10. That would be awesome.
It would be awesome.
That would be the best thing ever. Who wins the tiebreaker in that situation?
I have no idea. Yeah, I mean, I think it depends on who beats who on their way to 6-10, but yeah.
That's what we need, man. We need a four-way 6-10 tie. That would make...
I don't want that. I mean, it's bad enough that a 7-9 team is probably making the playoffs. There may be two 7-9 teams make the playoffs this year. That's bad enough.
That's pretty rare, though.
Well yeah, but it seems like it's happening more and more now.
Yeah, although, I think some of the teams that have gotten in were, like last year, the Panthers were terrible to start the season, but they were as good as anybody over the second half of the season. And then they won a playoff game. Granted, you know, Arizona was down to its 26th quarterback, but yeah, they still won. And I think that team deserved to be in there. But it is kind of ugly to see. And I think just part of it's not just the parity. It goes back to something I talked about earlier in the season, that the quality of play in the middle of the league right now is just not very good. And part of it's injured quarterbacks. Part of it are teams that we expect to be really good or not. And I just think you're seeing a lot of bad play. And that leads to inconsistency. And that's why you have a bunch of teams that might be 6-10 fighting for a division title.
Yeah.
713-780-ESPN. And there's a lot of other stuff to get to, including some Astros news that Django asked us about. And I think we'll get to that. But the Aroldis Chapman thing, we need to get to that too. That was a very strange story.
What's Barry Warner call him? Araldin Chaplin?
Chaplin?
Is that right?
Is that like Charlie?
I don't know.
It's either Araldin Chaplin or Araldin Chapman. I'm not sure.
Oh, Araldin?
Geraldo. I don't know what he called him. Geraldo, maybe.
Geraldo?
Yeah. But I was listening to that today. I love it. I love it.
Barry
Warner also.
I missed out on that. I'm sorry.
We have a sales girl named Kara. And Barry Warner was telling me, you know, she's telling me to keep away from her, which, okay. But then he said, when I look at Carrie, I look at her in her eyes. And I was like, all right, well, I'll see you later, Barry and Carrie.
Aren't we pretty good friends with Kara?
I can't wait until I'm old enough that, like, I don't have to even pretend like I remember people's names. Because, you know, I'm bad with that now.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But when I'm old, I'm just going to call people whatever I feel like. I'm going to be like, all right, Frank, take us to break. When I'm that old, you'll be dead, so I'll be talking to other Frank. But
all right, RJ. We'll be back in just a minute. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Step back out of my way, head first.
Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Couple things, and then we'll get to the Astros here. Roto Solutions says Cowboys absolutely could have run out the clock after the McFadden first down, as it would have been running. Skins had two timeouts. Again, though, do you want to run it down and count on the perfect snap, perfect hold field goal, or do you get the touchdown and make them go the length of the field? I think that's one of those where I'd have to go look at the actual statistics that they put together for what works more often. I could see a case either way. Yeah. And then according to Eric and the Barstool Sports thing, if they're all 6-10, the Cowboys would win the division.
Is that true?
That's what it says on Barstool Sports.
Right.
The Cowboys end up winning the division at 6-10. So, okay. Good luck with that. So a couple of things in baseball. Aroldis Chapman, that deal on hold right now because of an incident.
And it happened in October that we just hear about yesterday.
Apparently, there were a couple of other teams that had already backed out on him because they knew about it. And apparently, I'm not sure the Dodgers did, but it came out. And now, where he allegedly choked his girlfriend and fired his pistol into the wall and all kinds of goofy stuff. Not a fan of that.
No.
But I am a fan of his fastball.
Yeah.
And
listen, it goes down to, is he a good guy? No. Are you willing to have a bad guy on your baseball team? And I mean, we've gone over. I feel like this is the Greg Hardy case over and over.
Yeah.
I mean,
does he help you win?
Does he help you win games? And there's some team out there who's going to go, you know what? Yeah, this guy would help us win. And if it's not some team, it'll be the Reds. And if he stays in Cincinnati for another year,
somebody's going to pay him a bunch of money.
Somebody's going to pay him money. Yeah. I mean, that's just the reality. So, you know, there were a lot of people who were like, oh, I'm glad the Astros didn't take a chance on him. And I'm like, well, are you? I mean,
sure. Yeah. Obviously, no charges were filed, so it doesn't look like anything's going to come out of it. Maybe some punishment from MLB, but you wouldn't want that arm at the back of your bullpen?
I mean, I don't think there's any question you would.
Yeah.
You're talking about one of, if not the best closer in baseball.
And, I mean, he's a one-of-a-kind closer because he throws harder than anybody.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what they need. But I still think he'll wind up with the Dodgers because they'll pay him. And
the Dodgers are making a bunch of moves, it looks like. And that leads us to the other tweet we got about Jose Fernandez, where the Marlins and Dodgers are apparently talking about it. And the Dodgers want Jose Fernandez, which of course they do.
I mean, who doesn't?
Jose Fernandez is freakishly good, albeit he's had a hard time staying healthy. But and this is why I kind of said no to the guy's question about would the Astros be in on him. The price on a guy like that who's under team control for the next little while and is, you know, you talk about his war, his wins above replacement relative to what his contract is worth right now. I mean, the guy is an extreme value, not just a value. It reminds me a little bit of what we talked about with Chris Sale last season.
Yeah.
Like the amount of actual value that he has relative to the money he makes is just silly. And the Marlins have apparently asked the Dodgers for Julio Urias and Corey Sager, Corey Sager is probably the, you know, people are looking at him the same way they're looking at Carlos Correa. Like this is a franchise cornerstone piece.
And it was huge news that those guys weren't part of the Chapman deal.
Yeah.
And that was the one thing that leaked. We never knew who it was they actually gave up, but they mentioned specifically that those two guys weren't in the deal.
Well, that said, the Dodgers would have been stupid to trade Corey Sager because for Aroldis Chapman. I don't care how good of a relief pitcher you are. If Corey Sager is what everybody seems to think he is, top prospect in baseball, then you don't trade that guy for a relief pitcher. Now, do you trade him for a guy like Jose Fernandez, who is an absolute stud, ace of your staff? I don't know.
I'm not sure I do. I think, well, you mentioned the injury problems, but if I have an everyday player who is going to be a superstar, I'd rather have that.
And I think I would too. And this is the reality. And, you know, well, here's one other thing to think about. The Dodgers are in a situation where they have almost more talent, at least from position player standpoint, than they really have spots on the field, which is not a bad problem to have,
right,
obviously. But they just lost Zach Greinke. They want to fill that hole. I still don't think it's the right move. And the reality about the Astros is, if they're asking for Corey Sager plus the Julio Urias, who's the number two prospect the Dodgers have, what do you think they're going to ask from the Astros?
And
they could very well say, well, we'd like your top three prospects and George Springer. Or George Springer, you know, Lance McCullers and your top Phillips, your top prospect. I don't know if it's worth it.
According to Jason Stark, I guess there's obviously talks going on about the guy. It doesn't make any sense to me that the Marlins would trade him for all the reasons you talked about, him being under control and all that. But according to Jason Stark, there is an unidentified team making a strong push, and most people believe it is the Astros. So I don't know exactly what they would be talking about. Now, the one advantage the Astros would have in a deal like that is they'd have multiple high-level prospects they could move as opposed to, okay, here's the best prospect in baseball.
Right, but what they don't have is a guy like that. And because, obviously, and at least I hope, obviously, if Carlos Correa's name came up, the conversation would be over. I like to think that's the case.
But if George Springer's name comes up, would the conversation be
over? Honestly, if anybody else but Carlos Correa's name came up, I think you have a discussion because of the value attached to Jose Fernandez.
Yeah, that's the only guy that I might be willing to discuss Lance McCullers on, because he's already what I think McCullers is going to be.
He's better than what McCullers can. Like,
I don't know that.
With the injury question mark, I can't say that for sure.
No, but I think McCullers can be an ace in this league, and I would not trade him unless it was for somebody who's already there. And Fernandez is already there.
Wow.
That's the only name that's the only kind of guy I would actually, under team control, affordable, that I might think about. But if they came and said, hey, I want Alex Bregman, Mark Appel, and Daz Cameron, okay, I'll give you all those guys. That's your top three prospects that aren't already in the bigs.
Yeah.
You wouldn't do that?
There's no, like I said, without Carlos Correa, there's probably not a group of three guys on that team in that organization that I wouldn't trade for a chance at a guy like this. Because if you've got Dallas Keuchel and you've got Jose Fernandez, who's 23 years old,
and well, let's assume for a second McCullers isn't part of the deal, and suddenly your top four, those two plus McHugh and McCullers going into next year.
You're in really good shape.
You're as good as anybody in starting pitching. And maybe you can fade that crappy bullpen. Not great bullpen.
That said, I don't know if, and I know you like McCullers a lot, I don't know that McCullers is looked at by everybody as a top of the rotation guy.
Well, he's not right now, but he's 21 years old.
Right.
With high 90s stuff and already very polished. This guy's only getting better. Now, obviously health, you don't know if he's going to stay healthy, but I mean that to me he's the one guy that they have arm-wise that I can look at and say this kid could be a stud for a long time.
What's crazy is Jose Fernandez has pitched one full season. And granted, it was a freakishly good season, 2.19 ERA.
That's okay.
And, I mean, 187 strikeouts in 172 innings. The guy's a stud when he's, you know, when he's healthy. He has not shown that he could stay healthy. And we're talking about a guy who, in the last 2 years, has pitched 115 innings. If you're going to... and again, you're going to have to give up something huge. And George Springer may be a starting point for a guy like this. And are the Astros looking at George Springer as a building block? I don't know. As like a cornerstone building block? I don't know. I think your middle infield, if you're the Astros, that's your building block. Those two guys and Dallas Keuchel. Like I said, though, I don't know that there's anybody not named Correa or Keuchel, I guess. I mean, obviously, you're not moving him. But anybody not named Correa or Keuchel that is completely off limits to conversation?
Well, I think you have enough. I think the Astros have more high-level prospects. They may not have a prospect as good as that, but they have more
but
depth in there.
If
they could go five or
like
six
this.
Deep if they wanted and still get him without necessarily. Now, Springer's an interesting case, but... yeah, like I said, if I could do the deal without McCullers, I'd much rather do that. But I'd give up George Springer, sure.
I just don't know if I don't know if the Astros have the prospect that is going to make the Marlins go. I mean, because if they're asking for, like I said, if they're asking for Corey Sager plus from the Dodgers, you're talking about getting the best prospect in baseball, and then the second best prospect in their organization. I don't know.
It depends on what you want. If you're a team that, and you know, who knows if the Dodgers are saying yes to that? They're probably not.
They shouldn't. That's what I'm saying.
But if
that's what the Marlins are asking for, that's what they want.
And well, if you want the best prospect in baseball, and the Dodgers aren't willing to trade him, and you still want to move the guy, you need to look at the best options.
Well, I think
that's the thing. You can't just say, well, we want the best prospect in baseball. Oh, we can't have him. Okay.
Well, I think you can say that. And I think that's kind of like with the Chris Sale thing. Would it make total sense for the White Sox to move him last year? No. But if they got their pants blown off by an offer, they'd have to consider it. And I think that may be what the Marlins are doing, is they're shooting for the moon. And if they don't get it, okay, they're stuck with their 23-year-old super stud ace. Big deal. You know,
I would be concerned that there's some other stuff going on with this dude if they are trying to move him. And that would drive my price down a little bit, because there's no reason to move him.
Well, I think his elbow is a reason to move him.
Well.
And supposedly, I've read the Yankees are willing to move Luis Severino in a trade for him, which would be – that's another pretty big-time prospect. I don't know that it's – you know, if you're talking about him and Greg Bird, who was the ended up playing a lot of first base for the Yankees last year, apparently they're willing to use those guys. But the belief is that even those two guys, both whom have major league experience and project to be really good major leaguers, that's not enough for the Marlins. So I think the Marlins are smart to go out and say, hey, we want this guy, and if we can't get him, we'll just hold what we've got.
If that's what they're doing.
Right.
I mean, they also may...
I mean, this is the rumor mill. Who knows what's happening.
Right.
And there's tweets that are saying, my sources say that the Marlins are willing to move Fernandez, and then sources are saying, or somebody will come out and say, he's off the table. He's not up for discussion.
And that's what happens at the winter meetings.
Typical.
You're going to get stuff like this thrown out, and, you know, half the time it's all BS.
Yeah.
In fact, 90% of the time it's BS. But if it winds up not being BS, cool. All right, we're going to take a very quick break. We come back, a lot more to get to. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. For more great sports talk, try Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. Two great sports stations, two presets. Lock them in.
Lock them in. Just don't check it out when our show's on. Feel free to check it out any other time. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. If you want to get in, this is probably your segment to do it, because we're going to be pretty full for the rest of the show. And you can also text the number. You can do that too. A lot of stuff to get to, but... Herman Moore is going to join us at 4:45, former Lions receiver. Jerome Solomon's going to join us, as he always does, in the 5 o'clock hour, and we also have Paige Van Zandt. Tomorrow, we have a Hall of Famer that we know is going to show up, Anthony Munoz.
100% sure he'll be on.
Yes, 1,000% sure.
So I got an explanation of what happened yesterday.
Okay.
Apparently, he was popping a lot of pain pills from the time that he was picked up at the airport, or I guess picked up wherever he was going to get picked up, until the time that he got to the location where they were having early dinner. And apparently he was acting a fool like that the entire night.
Oh, really?
Yes. I think he was overly medicated.
Okay.
He had taken all those hits in the league.
Well, we'll get to you. And I know he's had...
And if you don't know which Hall of Famer we're talking about, it's Barry Warner.
Yeah.
Who
he's taken a lot of hits to the head.
Right.
But, I know he's had issues with concussions and everything else, so that's why I was kind of reluctant to make fun of it. But there's a part of me that kind of wishes that what Jong had to deal with had been on the air, because we'd be all over Deadspin today. It would have been a national story.
He was trying to talk to me in Spanish in a very, very high-pitched voice.
Well, and that's what confused me, because for the few seconds that we actually had him on air, it sounded like a woman talking Spanish. Like, what the hell? So, yeah, that didn't work out.
And he kept telling me he's done radio before in the past. And then I said, okay, hold on. And then he kept talking to me in Spanish in a very high-pitched voice.
What was he saying?
¿Cómo se dice? Or ¿cómo se llama? That kind of stuff. Like, oh, a lot of comos.
All right.
Wow. Well, that's a shame. But I do hope that... I hope it didn't happen when people went out there to see him and get pictures with him and stuff like that. So, anyway. Oh, well. That's that happens, man. I was looking forward to talking to him, but not like that. All right, 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. I can assure you that Anthony Munoz will not act a fool when we have him on.
No.
Paige VanZant won't act a fool either.
No.
Jerome might.
Jerome, we can't make any promises.
Right. That's, yeah. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. And I don't know if you you saw this, but you know, the Seahawks made some offseason moves. One of them was they spent an awful lot of money on Kerry Williams. You see, they already cut ties with him. And it kind of makes sense because he wasn't playing well. He wasn't fitting into what they did. But that's still a pretty big chunk to just have
to say.
Oh, well, didn't work out. But you know what? They're playing a lot better.
Yep.
Since they got him out of the lineup. And that's a team I don't think anybody's going to want any part of in the playoffs. Brian says, now I really wish he'd made it on the air. Would have been the best interview ever. Yeah, or the worst. But those are always, that's what I prefer. I prefer something we say, okay, that's either the best thing we've ever done or the worst. That's more fun.
Yeah.
You know, when it's just in between, it's like, hey, okay, that was a good interview. That was okay interview. No, it's, train wrecks are fun. And there would have been part of it that would have been fun. But on the other hand, I didn't really want to embarrass a guy either. So, I thought the Astros have something like five top 60 or top 70 prospects, according to Baseball America, that you could just trade all those guys.
Yeah, but what are you going to do? Trade your entire farm system for one pitcher who may or may not?
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, you talk about, okay, blow me away. Maybe that's the offer that
maybe
blows them away. But I don't know. I don't think you'd trade those three guys you drafted last year. And that's a, I mean, those are all three pretty highly regarded prospects.
Yeah.
We'll see. I think in the end, I'm hopeful that the Astros will take care of the more important thing, which is get another arm in the back of that bullpen, somebody who throws hard. And there's some guys out there that are the kind of guys they tend to look for, which is players under team control for a while. And I'm okay with that, kind of building smart so that at some point when you have to pay Carlos Correa, you can do it. But, yeah, they've also got some money to spend. I don't think they have to be scared out there.
Yeah.
713-780-ESPN is your number. Take a quick break. We come back. Herman Moore, former Lions wide receiver, scheduled to join us. Reminder, it's a Local Music Tuesday. John will be tweeting out all the local bands and their songs. Quick break. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
On your way to run me over.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Live from the Gau Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. We'll get back to your phone calls in just a minute. But right now, we're joined by former Detroit Lions wide receiver, played in the NFL for a long time. Terrific player. Herman Moore joins us. Herman, how are you, sir?
I'm good, thank you.
So, first off, I want to ask you a little bit about the NFL. How do you feel about the fact that we're watching the NFC East games, and there's a good chance we wind up with a 6-10 or 7-9 team winning the playoffs? As a former player, is that something you you look at and say, yeah, you know what? I don't care. I'm in the playoffs. But or is that where you go, wait a minute, this is kind of silly?
Well, I'll tell you this: if I'm a player that's on that 6-10 team or that 7-9 team, I'm on my knees giving thanks and just saying I'm glad we're in and I don't care how we got in. But if I'm on one of those teams that are 10-6, 9-7, or one of those other teams that doesn't get in, then yeah, you're going to be up in arms because it's hard to understand how that occurs. But you look at the couple of divisions and that's what you're going to end up with.
Well, we've talked about this a little bit. Do you think that there's a quality of play problem right now, or is this just one of those years where you've got a few teams that are really good and a bunch of teams that are just pretty mediocre and they're taking turns beating each other?
I think it's both. I think there are some surprise teams, like you see what's happened in Carolina and their start being undefeated all the way through the season. But there are others that you look at and you know that they're underperforming. You know that they should be playing a little bit better than what they are, and then they're not getting the same results given the level of talent that they have. If you look at some of the teams that are near the bottom or some of those that are struggling, you look at Philly, you look at especially the NFC. If you look at the NFC East and you see the level of talent that's over there, you wonder how does that division struggle with the level of talent that I think that's over there.
Herman Moore, our guest, and I want to switch it to college. Of course, former four-time Pro Bowler, and also went to University of Virginia. Kind of a surprising hire for your alma mater there for Bronco Mendenhall to jump. What do you think of that hire?
Well, it seems to be that he's the guy that they really wanted, that which matched up really well through independent search that was done to say this is the best fit, not only for Coach Mendenhall, but also for the University of Virginia. And then getting him in there and having a guy that has such a background of winning, a high winning percentage, and repeatedly going to the bowl game and being competitive in the independent league conference, then you know that you have at least a good start because they're bringing the right credentials. Now you have something to recruit around. You have some things that now you can promote to your fan base and your supporters, who also are starting to waver a little bit because the program has been underperforming for quite some time. It's unfortunate because I think Mike London was liked out at the University of Virginia, but ultimately if you don't have the success on the field, despite the graduation rate, you know, it's college football. They're going to want to see that as well.
What do you think about how the playoffs shook out? Do you think the committee got it right? Was there really much debate this time around with the four teams?
I don't think it was a lot of debate. You look at it, some people will make some, when you start looking at that four and five spot, you know, four through six, sometimes people think you can kind of flip-flop a few of those guys. But I think the teams that have won, and you're looking at Michigan State, Alabama, you know, Clemson and teams like that. I mean, when you have those teams that have proven and worked their way into those championship games, then that's how you know you got the right teams.
Would you have liked to have, when you were playing, would you have liked for there to have been a playoff like this?
I would have loved for it to not only be a playoff, but to have as many bowl games.
Yeah, what do we have now? 40 bowl games, so you wind up with 80 teams. You're obviously involved with Quick Lane, so the Quick Lane Bowl will be on ESPN2 on December 28th, and it's Central Michigan and Minnesota. And one of the big things that happened this year is that we've got 5 and 7 teams in bowl games, Minnesota being one of them. Is that something that, obviously it's good for the players, especially teams kind of gone through what Minnesota did this year with Jerry Kill and everything else, but is that something that you like seeing, 5 and 7 teams in there?
It's not so much what I like seeing as much as I just like the fact that some teams will be given the opportunity to extend their season. We can look at the wins and losses, and we can look at the records. But ultimately, even when I look at Minnesota's side, they had some tough teams they faced this year. They have at least four teams that are going to finish or have finished with over 10 wins. And then you got two more potentially in Wisconsin and also Michigan that will end up with 10 wins. And then you got Central Michigan over in the MAC that has performed very well. I thought they had a very good season. They played Michigan State tough. They played Oklahoma State tough. And then they lost a couple other close games by, you know, 3 points or less. So you got really two good teams. It's more for me about deserving, and I think these are two teams that definitely deserve to have continued play, along with probably some others, but these are two that we were lucky to get.
And how helpful is it to the players and coaches, too, to have this extra time to really get ready for next year because you get the extra practices? How useful is that for teams like this?
It's useful because I think it also provides the players and the coaches and the schools a positive note to end their season on. They may have had a win or a loss before the bowl game, but ultimately having the opportunity to play means that there was some success in that campaign, some success in that season. It motivates your players coming in the following year. I think it gives you something to recruit around as well. So it's big for a lot of these teams.
Who are the guys right now in the league that you kind of see and they jump out to you at your position at wide receiver? I mean, obviously there's guys like Calvin Johnson who you got to be around a little bit, and you know, Julio Jones, but like the next crop of guys that you think are really going to be, you know, the next big thing in the NFL. Who are the guys you look at and are impressed by?
Well, I'm impressed by Antonio Brown, as a young player. I think he's doing well, and he's a little guy, 5'10". but he's playing big. You look at, you mentioned a few of the others like A.J. Green and Julio Jones have always continued to be those guys that have stayed on the scene. I think you got Allen, Will Allen, I think that's doing well. Or Allen Robinson, I think it is. I forget which one. I think it's Allen Robinson. Who has kind of come onto the scene. Those are guys that you kind of watch. Calvin Johnson has been doing it for a while. Larry Johnson. Also, another guy that's kind of middle of the road there and middle of the pack is Dez Bryant, a guy that I think will come and produce, and Beckham. And so you got a pretty decent amount of guys, and they come from a wide range. It's not like during my era where we started to transition to that six-foot-plus wide receiver group that was just really dominating and taking over. I think now it's gone back to really being a mixture of players, and it's all about playmakers.
Herman Moore, our guest, former Lions wide receiver. And Herman, I know you're here to talk on behalf of Quick Lane Tire and Auto Center, which is the title sponsor. And Quick Lane is supporting disabled American veterans, which I think we can all get behind. Tell us a little bit about what they're doing.
Well, with that, Quick Lane is supporting the disabled American veterans. They're trying to build awareness and raise funds through the bowl festivities. Ford Motor Company has stepped up, Ford Motor Company Fund, in a big way, and leading the way by making a contribution of $50,000 to the DAV, and also Detroit Lions. You know, they're the only NFL team to own, host, and operate a college football bowl game. And you got a lot of really good organizations that are doing some special things that are making this all come together for two schools that, I think I said before earlier, are deserving of the opportunity to play in a bowl game.
That Detroit Lions team you mentioned, you think that franchise is going to right itself, or do you think it's going to, I mean, do you think the problem, you know, starts at the top all the way with current ownership? What do you think it will take to get Detroit proud again?
Right now, the Ford family will always take responsibility for what is out there on the field and also what's up in the administrative offices. The saving grace, and I think the factor here, is that you have an owner that is willing to win and do whatever it takes to win by making contributions to the team in any manner necessary to get the right people in here and also to provide a winning product. Also, Jim Caldwell, I think, is a key factor, being that he's been here in the second year. I think he's developed a really good rapport with the team and with the players. There's a respect level that is there that is tough for coaches to get on a consistent basis. So they have some of the foundation pieces that help you establish a successful program and a successful organization. However, the players still have to perform, and you still got to bring in the right level of talent. There are some areas they need to upgrade offensively and defensively, and if they can do that via draft and also with free agency, this team can be competitive again in 2016.
Matt Stafford may be the best quarterback that they've ever had there in Detroit, but now there's rumblings that they may be ready to move on from him. You think Matt Stafford is the guy to have there, or do you think that they can end up doing better somehow?
Well, barring some massive and major deal that the Lions can't resist, I don't see Matthew Stafford nor the rumblings of Calvin Johnson possibly being shopped or looked at as being someone that they could also get something for. Those are two very key components to this team, and I think they're still very productive at this stage of their careers. Matthew Stafford, when given protection and opportunity to get the ball to him, they've been a very good tandem, one of the best in the NFL over the years. And defensively, they should get some of their key components back that they were missing. But ultimately, Matthew Stafford is a guy that this organization definitely covets.
One more before we let you go. What was it like playing with a guy like Barry Sanders in Detroit, who obviously, if he had kept playing, you know, who knows what kind of numbers he would have put up, but just an amazing player. What was that like for you?
It was special to be in the presence of a guy that was so good. I've seen some players that I can look at. It would probably equate to guys who saw a guy like Jerry Rice and how he worked and how he ran and how he competed. I had a chance to see a guy every day in practice who had the right professional work ethic and also had the professionalism when he stepped out on the field to take care of business. And for us, when you have those type of players that you're around, you can't help but elevate your game, and that's exactly what we were able to do as receivers and also as teammates of Barry.
That's Herman Moore, former Lions wide receiver. Go to quicklanebowl.com for more information, and they are helping out disabled American veterans with the bowl game, and that's Central Michigan and Minnesota. It'll be on December 28th. Herman, we really appreciate the time, man.
Thank you very much.
All right.
All right, going to tell you about Pajamagram, guys. Christmas right around the corner. And it's great to get your lady a present that, you know, she's gonna appreciate herself. But it's nice when that present is also something that you can appreciate as well. Give her a win-win. Give her something that's going to make her feel hot and heat up your holiday. That's where Pajamagram comes in. First of all, they've got the I talk about it every year, the world-famous Hoodie Footy. It's the ultimate solution to her being freezing, which is going to sometimes prevent you from getting things hot. Combines the warmth of a hoodie with the coziness of footed pajamas. Head-to-toe warmth means she'll be hot in no time. You can find all the Hoodie Footy styles at Pajamagram.com. And then on top of that, you can find something a little more up your alley. The sweet and sexy gift set gives you the best of both worlds. So you get the cozy Hoodie Footy plus something a little sexier that's going to heat up the mood a little bit later on. Listen, buy both today, pajamagram.com. You're going to save $60. You don't even have to wrap because every Pajamagram includes free gift packaging. Christmas delivery is guaranteed. Visit pajamagram.com or call 1-800-GIVE-PJs. Make it a Hoodie Footy holiday. Tell them AJ with ESPN 97.5 sent you. They've got styles for whoever you're shopping for, so go check it out. It's Pajamagram, pajamagram.com.
ESPN 97.5.